Hi, I'm your host, Dominique LaRue, for the blog Music Art Culture. Thank you for listening. You can follow the newly formed nonprofit Music Art Culture Education Foundation on social media. Just head over to our website, musicartculture.org, and you'll see all the links for the social media pages on our site. You can also get in contact with us. Just click on the icon for contact, fill out the form, and one of our team members will get back to you. And you can find out more about the Music Art Culture Education Foundation. Cool note, guess what? It is almost time to go back to school. That's right, LA County goes back August 14th, so that'll be an exciting time because it's right around the corner. If you parents haven't gotten all your back to school gear yet, don't worry, you still have time. And good news, the Music Art Culture Education Foundation, MACEF, is doing a back to school giveaway. So it will be an awesome opportunity for us to serve the public, our local community, and our young learners by making sure they have some of those much needed materials to head back into the classroom free of charge from the parents. And we'll be sure to post that free giveaway for our young learners on our website when we reveal our location coming up very soon. But yes, you can follow me, your host Dominique LaRue, on Twitter at Dominique LaRue. Also, the foundation, you can follow us on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts, and also on IG, Instagram at Music Art Culture. And we can't forget about our Google Plus page. And just as I said before, click any of the links to our social media once you go to our website, musicartculture.org, and it will take you straight to our social media pages so you can get updates, participate in some of our surveys, read some of the articles that we post, and I hope that you find them interesting, informative, and feel free to like, share, tweet, and follow back, and we will do the same. We are really excited, again, to remind you, if you didn't know, you have a few weeks left until school starts in LA, and we are excited to jump on that back to school topic. So we actually had a few brainstorming ideas with the father of a 10-year-old girl who is going into the fifth grade, and he was cool enough to share his top three concerns with me, and I want to share them with you. So what do you think made the list? Well, let's see. His top three were fashion, hygiene, and social media. So definitely I could see the concerns there. It's going to be fun while we dive into that, get some feedback on that. But also, we want to talk about discipline. How do you co-parent? He is the primary parent, so how do you maintain co-parenting when it comes to discipline? The importance of the parent-teacher conference, is it still necessary, or is it just a meaningless formality? I don't know. We'll get into that. And last but not least, a fun question: do you know when you're being manipulated by your child? Or even if you don't have kids, do you know when you're being manipulated by a child? So we're going to have some fun today. I'm going to keep it informative, and hopefully you enjoy the conversation. We'll also try and get some live interviews and feedback. Thank you for listening to our podcast here on Anchor. We love the Anchor platform because it allows us to share these stories with you. So again, you can follow us direct on Anchor as well. Just look for at Dominique LaRue, which is me, your host, or the blog Music Art Culture. And they actually distribute our podcast on several other platforms as well. So if you have Spotify, you can find us there. Check us out. We are almost everywhere. And with your help, we can definitely touch more, reach more, and ask more to join in on our conversation. So I'm looking forward to get into these topics. It's definitely going to be fun, informative, and exciting to hear what you all think and what you have to say about what is going on. Now, even if you don't have kids, this will be informative, I think, for everybody involved. Personally, I don't have any yet, but Well, these conversations always take a life on their own. So let's get into the topics. You're listening to the Blog Music Art Culture Back to School Edition. Hi, this is Dominique for the Blog Music Art Culture. Thank you for listening. This is our back to school edition, so we are all in, as I know a lot of you are, getting ready for that September 14th deadline where LA County goes back to school. We're going to jump right into the topics here. Our first topic is fashion versus dress code. We spoke to one of our parents. He actually has a 10-year-old. She's going to the fifth grade, and one of his top concerns was fashion. He actually shared his top three. We spoke about that earlier, but his number one was fashion. So we're going to get into this topic, fashion versus the dress code. Now, the article that we shared on our Google Plus page, you can head on over to our website, musicartculture.org, to follow us on social media. You'll see the Google Plus icon. Click on that, and you can check out the article for yourself, published by NEA Today. It was very interesting where they talked about school dress code discriminates, and it only focuses mainly on the female anatomy. It talks about ethnic trends that are targeted, and we explore the term that I'll say they coined as white male default. It was a very engaging article, very quick and easy read, and a lot of fun to explore with maybe your friends, family, coworkers, or even your tweens or teens, if you have any. Definitely gives you the mind of a young person and how they feel about the article. If they find that there's any truth to some of the facts or suggestive lingo that they put out there. But the bottom line is this: a lot of parents are concerned when it gets time to go back to school. They want their kid to be on trend. A child's ability to fit in socially is really important. And many parents share this parent's concern because they want their child to be socially engaged, not just with their peers, but also in the classroom. And they don't want them to be bullied or to be made to feel rejected. Okay, so one of the revelations that we ran across while reading this article was that many parents have reported finding issues when it comes down to getting the clothes that are in school standard as outlined by the handbook. Mainly girls. What we found is a parent posted on her Instagram that she could not find shorts that were long enough and at hem level. Now, if you recall in grade school, your hem of your garment needs to be as long as your longest finger, which is typically the middle finger, to make sure that you're fully covered. Spaghetti straps are a no-go. Your shoes are supposed to have backs on them. Things like that. They also highlighted that they don't want sagging pants, and it was very interesting because, certain ethnic trends that have to do with sagging or layering where you can see the boxer shorts, it's not necessarily sagging, but they want people to see the logo of the waistband of their briefs or their boxers, if they're like, say, an Under Armour or a Calvin Klein or a Tommy Hilfiger or whatever. So I do understand. I'm going to play both sides here. I totally understand where the school is coming from. You definitely want these kids to be well prepared when it comes down to the professional life and how to be properly fitted socially, culturally, as an adult. And how to get a job. You can't go in looking a certain way. You know, people want neatness, cleanliness, and they want you to be represented a certain way for if you were to be chosen to work for their company. And we all get that. We're adults. We understand that totally. No one's expecting you to come in with an Armani suit unless that's the job description, but you do need to have a general understanding of what is acceptable in the workplace. So I totally get that from the school's perspective. However, I will say in exploring this term white male default, I did go to school in the Valley, and so I went to school with a lot of skaters, and there were dog chains often used
and hung across their pants, their belt loops. And where I grew up, administrators knew that wasn't allowed, even though it wasn't in the handbook. I think maybe later they did add it a few years later, but dog chains were oftentimes used as a weapon. So the dog chains would have to be removed from the boys' pants. And, sometimes you would have chains back in the day that would be attached to the wallet as decoration, but those weren't allowed either. And same thing with females. If they wanted to wear chokers, the decorative little necklaces that were kind of woven with jewels, well, some schools would allow that, but then there were others who, some girls, they would wear dog chains as chokers, as little decorative necklaces, and that was not allowed because it was seen as a weapon. It was seen as something a little inhumane. Why is a human being, a young lady wearing a dog chain like a piece of property, like an animal? They didn't see it as inappropriate measure. So I think it's really important that administrators make sure that the parents understand the handbook instead of just passing it out to the kids or mailing it out, and also that the parents take an active role in understanding specifically what the expectations are for the administrators at the school, because definitely we don't want our young ladies to be a distraction. However, I do think clothing should be comfortable. Now, one way around this, because it can be difficult if you have a busty child who is developing at a rate far beyond her peers who are still asymmetrical, one thing that I recommend is bring in color, bring in textures. If you have a hard time finding your young person clothes in the kids section or the junior section, you might just have to face the fact that she needs to be in the adult section. So if you are having difficulty finding clothes on trend for her, one of the things that I recommend is you can always find a good, cute, nice t-shirt in her age group. And the bottoms, you would probably have to go to the adult section depending on her body shape and type. However, if she wants to wear a skirt or a shorts or something like that, invest in a pair of stockings. There are a lot of really nice stockings, really nice knee highs, really nice socks that have designs, that have color, that have texture. So it would allow her to be self-expressive without feeling that she is not fashionable, and she can get the same amount of attention that she would get as some of the other girls, maybe wearing some of the other things, but she is creating her own identity and her own style, and I think that's a great thing to help a young lady to develop with her own self identity. And the earlier you're able to start that, the better. As long as you can do it within guidelines, I think that's awesome. And yeah, that's a great talking point. So if you have kids, I would definitely have that conversation. How do they deal with the dress code? How do they feel about it? Do they feel like their clothes identify with their personality? Do they feel as though their clothes don't articulate who they are socially because maybe they feel like they don't dress like their friends? I think it's a great conversation to have, especially. Not to throw a wrench in it, but there are kids who actually change once they leave school or get to school. So even if you think, oh, we don't need to have this talk, it's an awesome talk to have because you need to be aware of how your young person or your young people identify themselves outside of your watchful eye. Hopefully we can get some feedback on that. I want to talk to some of our anchor listeners. So again, follow us on social media. Head over to our website, musicartculture.org. You can follow us on Twitter. You'll see links for that. Google Plus, also Instagram. And Instagram is Music Art Culture. We have Twitter, MACEF Public Arts. I'm your host, Dominique LaRue. You can follow me on social media as well on Twitter. I have my separate Twitter page, but definitely follow us, engage in this conversation, and thank you for listening. You are listening on Anchor, the platform that we love because they distribute our podcasts, and we are going to reach out to some of our Anchor listeners in a bit to see what they feel or remember about dress code when they were in school, if it helped them prepare as an adult or if they never really thought about it, if they think that disciplining kids based on dress code is a distraction toward learning, well, we want to talk about it. Thanks for listening to the blog Music, Art, Culture. Stay tuned. Let's see if we can get some feedback, and we'll jump into this next topic that has to do with 8 discipline strategies for kids with ADHD. Check it out. All right, so we're back. And we are getting into our second point. Quick correction. Earlier, I announced the first day of school as September 14th. Totally my mistake. It's actually August 14th. LA County goes back to school August 14th. So that is this month in a few days. I believe it's on Tuesday of next week, August 14th. We are back to school in LA County. Sorry about that mix-up. But thankfully, it was brought to my attention. We're going to jump into our next topic here. We have 8 discipline strategies for kids with ADHD. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't have kids, or my kids don't have ADHD, well, that's okay. But a lot of kids do have ADHD. Attention deficit disorder is ADD, and ADHD is more of a heightened sense of that. But basically, children with ADHD, they may have trouble sitting still, completing tasks, managing impulses, and following directions. So the topic that a lot of experts and educators are concerned about is the use of video games and social media that allows instant gratification at the tap of a button, at the swipe of a finger. It basically shortens the attention span. And although these can be disorders that a person is naturally born with to a certain degree, I also think, this is my personal belief, you can research it if you like, some of these items listed where it has to do with behavior can be developed due to social media and technology, because it allows for a lot of instant gratification and for the user to manipulate the levels of access to whichever degree they like. So definitely for a child with a lot of energy who is absorbing a lot of things, it can be your best friend or your worst enemy. But we're just going to explore some of these 8 discipline strategies to help parents. And maybe, I'm sure, because you have young learners, or maybe you know someone with young learners, these are tips that can be very helpful for getting them in line and maintaining a productive behavior. So we'll go ahead and share the article. The article is from Very Well Family, and here are some of the discipline strategies. We're going to jump into there, into them. Provide positive attention. Now, this one I think is really important, because it does actually talk about how some children want attention, any kind of attention, even if it's negative. And if that's what they have to do, they will trigger you just to get attention. So what this first point talks about in providing positive attention is giving your child a minimum of 15 minutes of positive attention, just to have an effective way to reduce behavioral problems. And if they are doing something that, let's say you do not agree with, you address that behavior. You don't reward that behavior with the attention that they are seeking, but you address that behavior. And when it comes to the 15 minutes or more of the positive attention, you do something that allows them to feel involved, meaning reading. You want them to do their reading, you want them to do their homework, cleaning their room, helping prepare a meal. It could even be maybe making a dessert, putting ice cream in the bowls, things like that. Maybe walking the dog or assisting with a pet if you have one. Little things that they can manage and understand that are positive and productive. The second one is give effective instructions. Now, this one was really important to me, because a lot of times we as adults can be very lengthy and also very innuendo and not so specific, which I guess it can be very confusing for kids. So It recommends that you gain your child's full attention before giving directions. Give one instruction at a time and ask your child to repeat back to you what he heard to make sure he or she fully understands. So instead of saying, when we get home, go and clean your room and then take out the trash because we have things to do and we have to prepare for tomorrow, they suggest that if your child struggles with ADHD, a lot of times they don't hear the instructions correctly or they hear them out of order. Or oftentimes, if you give them an essay with instructions hidden, they might be easily distracted while they're walking back to their room after taking out the trash. So if you give them things to do as bullet points and then ask them to repeat back what you asked them to do to make sure that they fully understand, they're more likely to be receptive because they'll remember, and you can hold them accountable because they were able to acknowledge that they understood. Number three, praise your child's effort. This is very important. It mentions that ADHDers will respond positively to frequent feedback, which is, I think that's really true with all children, actually. I mean, kids, they don't know until you tell them, right? They're learning. They're flowers. They need water and food and nutrients to grow. So if they're doing a good job, make sure that you identify that in the moment right there before you move on, so that way they know that their efforts are acknowledged, that they're good, that they're appreciated, and it helps them to replicate that behavior. So I think that's important across the board. We always want to praise our kids when they do the right thing instead of always mentioning something when they do the wrong thing. And oftentimes that's what triggers the bad behavior to come in again. If you never praise your kid for when they're doing something great, but you always praise them. And when I mean praise, I mean you get loud about it. You acknowledge it. When you acknowledge them for doing something wrong, they think, well, that's the only thing that I get responses for is when I'm doing something wrong. So some response is better than no response, right? And then that takes us back to the first point, which is positive attention. We want to give them that positive attention instead of negative attention to make sure that they're headed in the right direction. So we're going to move on to point four, use time out when necessary. Time out. Now they say time out doesn't need to be a harsh punishment. They don't define harsh. Really, I think the adult who knows the child knows what's harsh and what's not. So they go on to say, teach your child to go to a quiet spot to calm down when he or she is overstimulated or frustrated. Eventually, he or she will learn to place himself or herself in time out before they get into trouble. That is something good. I think that's really important. I think that as you know your child, you'll know how to counterbalance that with other things. Some kids, you put them in the corner for 10 minutes. You know, they take the time, they focus in on what the problem was, why they ended up in the corner, and they're young and they're youthful and they have a bunch of energy. So, of course, they don't want to be isolated in the corner away from everything. That's fun. So they take some time to get it together. And then for some, you put them in the corner and they take that time and breathe and then they forget about it and they might end up back in the corner. So you might need to just double up and say, okay, corner time. And then when you come out of the corner, you're going to be met with some discipline, which means that you now have a restriction. No TV, no playing outside, you know, with a time limit to it, whatever you feel is necessary to get the child's attention. But definitely using timeout is very constructive because it allows them to focus. You never want them to forget why they were placed on timeout. And you never want them to forget why they were given the restriction. And when they come out of the restriction, I think it's always important to, again, we go back to point three, praise the child for their effort. Engage with them after that period and say, hey, what did you learn? Do you know why? Have a conversation so that way they don't forget and they can improve on their behavior to stay out of restriction and or punishment. And of course, you know, as we get older, we all know as adults, punishments come in all levels, but we definitely want to give our kids some tools so they don't drive us crazy or each other and that they stay productive in the classroom and outside the classroom, because that's really what it's all about. We want to make sure that we stay on top of the behavior so that they can be as effective as possible in the classroom and as they develop socially and into adulthood. So that's really important. I hope these tips are great for you, that you'll put them to use. Feel free to visit our website. We'll put that article up as well. And explore these conversations. Have these conversations. You can also contact us directly on social media. Send us an inbox. Send us a message. Reply, like, tweet, share, follow. We'll be sure to reach out and do the same as well. We're going to move on to our fifth point. Ignore mild behaviors. Now, I know for some this is extremely difficult, because sometimes when your kids are acting up, it's too much. It's really too much, especially for teachers. And that's what it hints at in our fifth point, ignoring mild behaviors. So this teaches them that obnoxious behavior won't get them the desired results. Ignore whining, complaining, loud noises, and attempts to interrupt you, and eventually your child will stop. Whew, that is not easy, especially when you have a child that is a handful. Good advice, but I think that you are brave to figure out a balance for that, because I don't think I could ignore whining with complaining topped on top of loud noises. It's just too much. It's too much. Mild behavior, yeah. Like if I'm having a conversation, go clean your room. I don't want to clean my room. Okay, that's a mild behavior. Me asking you to go clean your room and do your homework, and you start stomping and falling out on the floor, that's a different situation. That's not a mild behavior. So I think hopefully you can identify what the mild behaviors are opposed to the not so mild behaviors and adjust your discipline. Because definitely we don't want the teachers to have to pay for that during the week. We don't want anybody to lose control of the classroom or in the household if they're an adult. We do want our kids to be respectful. So again, mild behaviors, try and ignore them, but only you know what a mild behavior is in relation to your child. So deal with that accordingly. And if you need to step away and take 5 to 10 minutes of breathing exercises and then revisit your child and what that punishment needs to be, whether it's time out, whether it's a restriction, then do that. Sanity is important, parents and adults. So, number 6, establish a reward system. Allow tokens to be exchanged for bigger rewards like electronics, playing on your games, or a chance to play a favorite game together, like Monopoly or Yahtzee or Chutes and Ladders or Checkers or Chess, which I think that helps a lot too. If you develop a system where you can put on a calendar or something that your kid can look at or the child can look at, so that way they can monitor their progress, then it helps them to kind of keep themselves in line. Maybe they can earn points, or also, depending on the behavior, maybe they can lose points. So it gives them a sense of actually preparing them to value money and also to be more aware of their behavior. So self-awareness is important, and I think establishing a reward system helps them to do that. So very fun tips. Last but not least, allow for natural consequences. Now, this one states when we have one more after this. We have 8. That's number 7. Number 7, allow for natural consequences. When disciplining a child with ADHD, pick your battles wisely. The natural consequence is that he or she would likely be hungry later, and he'll or she'll have to wait for dinner if they are too busy and having too much fun playing and don't want to stop for lunch. Eventually, that child will learn to eat lunch on time. Now, I think this is a good one, because they have that saying where you can't force kids to eat when they're not hungry. That is very true. I was a kid who I stayed at the table until I ate all my food because I was made to eat all my food. Now, I'm not against that either. But when kids have a lot of energy and they're playing
you know, sometimes it's hard to get their attention. They don't want to listen. The food is prepared. Now, you'd never want to waste food. However, you do want them to learn to prioritize. Now, if you burn so many calories, even as an adult, right? Who's been at the gym? If you burn so many calories and you don't eat properly, you'll get lightheaded. You'll be likely to pass out. You'll have health consequences. It's the same with children. So that's why they need to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And when they are in rebel mode because they're having too much fun, well, the same consequence happens because they're having too much fun as it would fall on you if you were at the gym. They might pass out. So it's a good thing to try here and there. Give them some snacks as needed, but not the full meal. And they will learn. Hey, you know what? I was hungry. Everybody else ate the good sandwiches and I just had carrot sticks. Well, Mom put my sandwich away because I wasn't listening. So tomorrow I'm going to be at the table like everybody else so I can have all the good stuff and not just the carrot sticks. Right? Right. Okay. Our final point. Here we go. Work with your child's teacher. Now, this is, I think, one of my favorite ones because it's very controversial. There are a lot of people who think that the parent-teacher conference days are done and they're not necessary, but I disagree. A behavior management plan, this is what the article states, a behavior management plan that carries between home and school can be helpful. A child may receive points or tokens from his or her teacher that can be exchanged for privileges at home, such as watching TV or using a computer. I think that working with the teacher is very important because it makes sure that your child knows that the rules follow home and they go into the classroom. And it makes it easier for the teachers and the parents to communicate about the child's behavior because they know the signs. They know the expectations, and they can raise the bar for what the expectations are once the child sees that they're on a united front, and it can allow the child to become more productive. So these are our top 8 points, according to the article, that help discipline kids. I think they're great with or without the ADHD. It's all about getting your minors in line, and we're going to see if we can get some feedback on this as well. The blog, Music, Art, Culture. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. MusicArtCulture.org. Follow us on Google+, Twitter, Instagram. We are all in. Thank you, Anchor listeners. And hang on in there. We'll be coming back. All right, we're back. The blog, Music, Art, Culture. Your host, Dominique LaRue. That's me. Follow me on Twitter. Follow us at MusicArtCulture.org. And you can get links to our social media pages. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation so far. What we've been discussing, our back to school edition, top 3 concerns of a single parent. We have fashion, we have social media, we have hygiene. We've also talked about discipline as well. And some of those tips I hope that you put into use. They are valuable regardless of the ADHD factor. Everybody needs a cooperative kid, right? So take in the articles. They're easy reads. I hope you've enjoyed the segment so far. We're going to jump into a few other topics as well, just to wrap it up. Hygiene. Yeah, that's always an interesting one. Definitely, I know that some schools would always have the informative time where you would go to the conference room and you'd meet with your group and the nurse would come in and give you some deodorant, toothbrush, toothpaste if you're a female, sanitary napkins for that special time of the month for some of them who are in development, and just that overall pep talk. But there's always the challenge, right? Because somebody is always looking or smelling like pig pen during that special developmental age, right? Well, we'll definitely keep them in our prayers because it's a struggle. When the underarms get strong and they start growing hair, it's definitely not cute anymore. But ways to help your kids stay in hygiene, I think some of those tips that we talked about previously, positive attention, brushing your teeth, washing your face. And actually, I went to the store recently. I went to Target. They have toothbrushes. Believe it or not, you can press the button and they light up. And there's one that has the red light, yellow light, green light, like the signal lights. It'll tell you when to start brushing an area, when to stop brushing an area. So there's different ways that allow it to be less boring for our younger people, our younger kids, and more of a reminder for them just to increase good hygiene habits. But definitely remember, praise your child's effort for those good days when they smell and look just as they should walking out of the door. And again, those behaviors can be applied to positive hygiene as well. So there's hope. Don't feel overwhelmed. We're gonna move on. The blog, music, art, culture. Hope you guys are having fun. Remember, like, share, tweet, follow. I'm having a good time. I hope you're enjoying our podcast on Anchor. And if you follow us direct through our link on Anchor, what you can do is check out our other platforms that share our podcast. As they do, Anchor does distribute them to others. Like, you'll see when you go to our website, our landing page, and check it out. But we do thank you for listening. I'll be back. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. It's been a lot of fun here at the blog Music Art Culture. And for more information on all of our social media, you can head over to our website, musicartculture.org. That will give you a direct link to our Google Plus page, where we shared a few articles that we listed as far as the tips for discipline. Yep. Read it in the article. The points are highlighted, made easy for you. And also, when we talked about dress code, well, you can read the article for yourself and see if you find any validity in that. But I found it very interesting, so I decided to share it with you all. And I hope that you found it as entertaining and enlightening as I did. Maybe even took you back to memory lane. If you have little ones or big ones, like kids or cousins or a very large family or a godchild, or maybe you're a parent, if you are surrounded by tweens, teens, and adolescents, I think this is fun facts for you to have an open conversation with them. Yeah, it's a conversation starter. See how they feel about their school dress code, if they feel that anybody follows it anymore, or if they even have one. See how they feel about some of the discipline tips and techniques, if they find them useful or necessary. If they feel that they work inside the classroom, if they feel that they've helped them to be more organized while at home. Yeah, it's always a great conversation to have to get some open-ended perspective. And guess what? You can follow us on social media. If you have Google, if you have Twitter, Instagram, we are there. You can also follow me at Dominique LaRue on Twitter. Tweet, 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 tweet. That's where I am. You can also subscribe. That's right. Subscribe to the blog Music Art Culture. We are fresh and in effect, and we want you to keep up with us because we are keeping up with the culture. Lots of fun. Never a dull moment. And we would appreciate your support. So feel free to gain access to our community through, again, the blog Music Art Culture, or heading over to musicartculture.org. And we will continue to keep you updated with more of the blog, as well as Music Art Culture Education Foundation. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for part two, because we didn't even cover the surface. We still have social media to get into, which is its own monster. But we definitely don't want to overwhelm you with information. And we want to really hear from some people who have kids or have experienced having to put some of this info to use. So yeah, keep posted for the part two, because it's coming, and so is the first day of school. Don't forget, August 14th is right around the corner. Today is Monday. LA County goes back August 14th. So if you haven't gone school shopping yet, you still have time. What I do recommend is, if you have your receipts, perfect. I would kind of glance over that school handbook to make sure you haven't gotten your child anything outside of the dress code, because guess what?
let's keep them in the classroom and outside the office. I think if we started early, that gives them a good chance at getting that perfect attendance record. And who knows, maybe even, what do you call that? It's the dean's list when you get to college. But in high school, A's and B's, yeah, they can make the list. It's never too late or too early to plan ahead. So even if you have an eighth grader going into ninth grade, a fourth grader going into sixth grade, or maybe a 10-year-old going on 21, hey, there's always time to prep in advance. Something to think about. I don't know. I'm lighthearted and have a interesting sense of humor at times, so I hope you found it interesting. I always do. I am out. Look forward to hearing from you and getting back to you about part two, the Blog Music Art Culture Back to School Edition will return. Thanks for listening. I'm out.